This week I was sitting down talking to somebody, and we were talking about some things that we know everybody can, what they say. I think it was Billy Graham used to say, if you cross-reference the evening news with the Bible, you can kind of see where things are at. And so people nowadays seem to be talking a lot about it, about the end times, things like that. And yes, we need to be prepared, and I always want us to be prepared, but I think sometimes it's that I know I'm saved, I know He's coming, what about all this in the middle? And so we can be, I think, sometimes so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. You've heard that statement before. I think sometimes that's the case, because I get so focused and so excited about the fact that Christ is coming back for me that I live right through the things that He's left me here for. And so we were talking, and we were talking about, and I don't know if they'd heard a message about it, but I've heard one since about how apathy has just taken over. Complacency is one of those things that we just get to that point that I think we need to realize that's where we're at. So many of us, because I know my salvation is secure and I know He's coming back, I can just float along in between. Well, this morning's passage, we're going to be in Luke chapter 19. So if you want to turn there, Jesus is going to be talking to them as they're going along, and He's going to share a parable with them. And we're going to discuss that parable of how it dealt with them, but also how it deals with us. And so if you would, we're going to start in verse 11. If you'd read along with me. It says, "Now as they heard these things, He spoke another parable. Because He was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are austere men. Man, you collect what you did not deposit, you reap where you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping where I did not sow. Why then did you not put the money in the bank that I might on my coming, I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him that has 10 minas. But they said to him, master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you and we open your word. Lord, I pray that you'd open our minds. I pray that you'd open our hearts to see what it is you have for each of us today. Lord, we all fit into this passage somewhere. Lord, show us. I pray for the Holy Spirit to convict. I pray for the Holy Spirit to draw. I pray for you to bless this time that we have, that we would honor you Lord, use your word to glorify yourself, to bring honor to yourself through what you can do with us. In your name we pray. Amen. As we read this parable, Jesus says that they were expecting him to come and set up his kingdom. If he was really going to be the Messiah, if he was really going to be this one that was prophesied about, then they were expecting him to come and set up his kingdom and do away with the Roman government and the oppression that they were going to deal with, that they had been dealing with. They were wanting him to come and set up his kingdom right then. And so Jesus tells them this parable to say, there is going to be a time between right now and when he comes. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning as we look at this. But we're going to take and we're going to, before I get into describing this what God has kind of laid on my heart, I want us to look at these people in this. And of course, we know the nobleman, that refers to Christ himself. He is going to, or has, returned to heaven after he ascended, and he's there, and he's going to come back. We know that. We can read that in Scripture after Scripture that that's going to happen. What we need to understand here is that where this nobleman in this parable, he says that he's going to receive his kingdom, which is what Jesus is going to do, and then he's going to return. But when he leaves all of these servants. And you want to make sure you understand this. There were people that he talked to first, and he said, I'm going to give all of my servants 10 minas. And he tells us that they called 10 servants. Now, that wasn't all that he had, but there was 10 servants in this parable, and he gave 10 minas. So that tells me and tells you that every servant got one mina. Every servant of the nobleman got the gift of one mina. Nobody could say, I didn't get one, because there was 10 of them and there was 10 minas. Every servant got that gift. Then, besides the servants, there's another group of people. They are called citizens. Now, they're not servants. They just live there. They are just citizens in the area. He was going to be the master, but they didn't want that. So they sent a delegation after him. And that delegation followed him to the cross and made sure he was on the cross. But they did not want this nobleman to be over them in the parable. And so there were citizens that hated him. They rejected him. They refused to have him reign over them. This is the people that are in this parable. Now today, you and I need to understand that you're going to fall in one of two groups today. We know who the nobleman is, but you're going to fall in the group of a servant or a citizen. That's the only two groups in this parable. We need to understand that, because the bottom line is, if you are a servant, then he's going to tell us some things that are going to happen. But we know one thing that's happened. When Jesus ascended, he told them, he said, if when I go, the Father's going to send another like me, the Comforter. And if I don't go, he's not going to come. But he's coming, and it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is coming. And when the Holy Spirit indwells me as a Christian, then he gives me gifts. He gives me a gift to use to glorify and honor him. That's the servant. The only way you can fall into that category is if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you have chosen to serve Christ, if you have chosen to serve Him as your Lord and Savior, then you fall into that servant group. But don't get complacent. We'll get back to that. But then the other group, and I know a lot of people would say, well, I don't fit into this group. I've not accepted Christ, but I don't really think I fit into this other group, Pastor. This group of citizens that hated him. I don't hate Jesus. I've just never turned my life over to him. Really, what they're doing is when the nobleman was going away, they rejected him as their ruler. If you've never accepted Christ, Maybe you think, well, I haven't ever come to a point where I said, yes, I'm going to follow Christ, or no, I'm not going to follow Christ. I've never come to that point yet in my life. This is my idea, and this is my understanding of Scripture. If you get to a point where God has called you, He has laid the message on your heart about His salvation that He's giving to you or offering to you, and you choose not to take it, at that point you have rejected Him. Now, you still have may still have an opportunity in your life where you have the opportunity to accept Him, to receive that salvation, to receive the forgiveness of sins. That may come. But at this point, if that's where you're still at, you have rejected the nobleman. You have rejected Christ. And you are in that group of citizens. So let's look at what takes place after this. We know that He's given each servant a mina. A mina was actually a sum of money, and it was really somewhere about 4 months' worth of normal wages. An average person would make that much money in about 4 months. That's quite a bit of money. But it's not enough to live on forever. But it's enough to do what He's called you to do. And He says something in this. He says, do business till I come. Do business till I come. Well, that's kind of vague. But if we look at it this way, if they were His servants, whose business were they supposed to do? Not their own, His. That's where we mess up. I mess up, let me put it that way. Because there's so many times I'm about my own business. If He's left me to do His business, as He has these servants, He says, here, I'm leaving you here until I come back. You need to be doing my business. Well, I'm busy doing my own business instead of His. What we have to understand that God has called us, He has left us here to do His business. And like I said, that's kind of vague. But He's given us this mina to do His business. That mina can also be looked at as not just a money form, but as an opportunity. He has left you with an opportunity to use for Him. Now, it may be money. He may have blessed you with money that you're able to use to glorify and honor Him, to bring an increase into His kingdom. In whatever way that you use it to minister, or whatever way that you use it to glorify Him, He has left you with that opportunity. Then it goes to possessions. Maybe it's a house, maybe it's a car, maybe it's property, whatever it is, but you're able to use that to minister for Him because He's given it to you. And so He's given it to you with an opportunity to glorify Him. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you're placed in a spot where you work with people and they like you, they get along with you, and you have an opportunity to share with them who you are and what it's all about, and the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them. That's your mina. That's your opportunity. Maybe it's time. We never have enough of that. Yes, we do. We have enough, it's just we don't do with it what we should. Man, I ran out of time doing this. Well, what was I doing? I was doing my own stuff. But if God has called you to use time for Him, He's not going to let you run out of it if you're doing what He's told you to do. Now, if I'm doing what I want to do, and He's given me amount of time to do what He wants me to do for Him, and I'm doing mine, then I'm going to run out of time. The mina that He gave you was to do His business. That's what He's telling them. He's saying, you've got time, and you've got what I've given you. And anytime God calls you to do something, He's going to equip you with the mina to do it. But the problem is, you and I don't want to do it. And there's nine other servants. There's plenty of other servants to do His business. I don't need to do His business. He's got other people that do it better than I do. It's not in here. But these sometimes we have that time thought of business. We've got to use our time. Well, you know, like we talked about last week, sometimes we seem like our time is forever. And then we wake up one day and it seems like our time has run short. It seems like we don't have very much time left. He has called us to use what time we have to glorify and honor Him. Because verse 15 says, and so it was when He returned. He's coming back. He's saying, here, I give you this to use for me to do my business till I come back. I'm back. Man, I want to put it way off out in the future because I've got so many things to do. I've got opportunities that He's set before me, and surely He wants me. I don't know the time that I have. I don't know the opportunities that are before me, how long they're going to last. But He says He returned, just like He said. You look up there in verse 12, it says He received Himself a kingdom. And He was going to return. Verse 15, He returned. Man, you only got three verses. Better use your three verses. And so it was that when He returned, having received the kingdom, He calls, first of all, His servants. The servants are going to be held accountable first. There's going to be a time when He comes back and that eastern sky is going to split and He's going to bring His children home. And at that point, we're going to go and we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we don't know a whole lot about that. But I can understand English and I can understand what the Bible says when it says it's the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it's not a judgment of salvation. That's already taken care of. But you are going to be held accountable. If a judge in a courtroom is going to bring you in, you are going to be held accountable for what you did. You are going to be judged for what you did and held accountable. At the judgment seat of Christ, He has given you your mina. You are going to be held accountable for what you do with your mina. That's what's about to take place. He doesn't immediately judge those citizens. He brings me before the judgment seat of Christ and holds me accountable for what I did with what He gave me. We don't want to think about that. Let's put that out there. We know we're saved, and so anything that happens there is not going to be, it's not going to be bad. My salvation is set. Yeah, I'm going to miss out on some rewards. You can't look at it that way. He calls first those that are servants. And I almost looked over this, but at the last part of verse 15 it says, command these servants to whom He had given money to be called that He might know how much every man gained. Every single man. He's going to call before Him every single servant of His and say, what have you done with the mina I gave you? What have you done with the finances I gave you? What have you done with the relationships I gave you? What have you done with the possessions? What have you done with the time I gave you for my benefit? Because this first man, he says, Master, your mina. That's key. He says, your mina. It wasn't mine. You gave it to me. It's yours. Man, what a great attitude. What a great understanding for him to say, what I had was yours and I give it back to you. And it gained 10 more. Man, what a great feeling that must have been to have stood before that nobleman and say, what you gave me, what was yours, earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Man, I would want a pat on the back right there. Man, I just took one mina and I turned it into 10. Can I get a well done, very good and faithful servant? That's what we think. But a servant has a job to do. And when a servant did their job, they didn't get a pat on the back. They were expected to do their job. You and I are His servants. We are expected to do the job. The next one comes in and he says, well, hey, I gained 5. And he puts him over 5 cities. So there's a difference in one getting 10 and one getting 5 based on what they did to with what the nobleman gave them. I think the rewards in heaven, according to that, it tells us that there's going to be levels of rewards based on what you do with what God has given you. Well, I'm content with 2. You don't know that. You're missing out. Because look at this in verse 20. It says, then another came. I looked up that word in Greek and it's heteros. And it's one of a totally different sort. So this wasn't a servant like the others. There was something completely different. Now, yes, he was still a servant of the master. But he was of a different sort. He was that servant, that one that had agreed to serve the master. But he was concerned about what would happen to him. Man, if I lose this one mina, what's going to happen to me? What punishment am I going to get? Because he sees the master as just this master that just collects wherever and he reaps what he didn't sow. And so he obviously didn't have a really good relationship with the master. He didn't understand the master just giving him something and saying, use it for my benefit. And so as Jesus repeats what he says, it's not that he's agreeing that I am a bad master and I reap where I didn't sow. He's just repeating what you think of the nobleman, what this third servant thinks of the nobleman is exactly how the nobleman is going to treat him. If you think I'm that, then that's how you're going to be treated. And that's what he's saying. But there's something in there that, and I've looked through several commentaries and there's in this passage, just because he's of another kind, he's not faithful. The other two were faithful. He's not. In 22 it says, and he said to him, out of your mouth I will judge you. In other words, what you said, that's the way I'm going to treat you, you wicked servant. Wow. The nobleman just come to him and called him a wicked servant. Because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Now, it didn't say, you wicked man, you wicked citizen. He said, you wicked servant. He acknowledged that he was still a servant, but he acknowledged the fact that he was not faithful in doing what he was called to do. And so what he had was taken away from him and given to the man who had 10. It doesn't imply he lost his salvation. It just implies that he lost his reward. He lost what he had. He was in a point where he was judged for being unfaithful. Because he's thinking about himself. Self-preservation. I'll just hide it so it won't come back to bite me. No. So you've got your faithful that multiplied 10 times. You've got your in the middle, got 5. Well, that at least it's better than this other guy. He's standing there saying, well, at least I'm not the wicked servant. And I'm not him, but you know, he's a holy roller. I couldn't follow that. At least I'm here in the middle somewhere, and that's okay. That's not the best attitude to have. But the last one lost everything. And then, as it says in verse 27, bring here those enemies of mine. And they went from citizens to enemies. And up there, verse 14, they were citizens that hated him. Down here in 27, they become enemies who do not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. The Bible tells us that if you reject Jesus Christ, you stand condemned already. All he could do was just give them what they deserved. They rejected the nobleman. They rejected the nobleman as a leader. We don't want him to reign over us. How many people out there do you know that refuse to let Jesus reign over them? That's the people he's talking about. So I'm going to ask you now, like I said at the beginning, I may have been in my prayer, I just remember it going through my mind, that we're going to fit into this somewhere. Every person in here is going to fit into this. Where are you? Are you in the servant category? And if you are you faithful with the mina that he's given you? Pastor, I don't know what that gift is that he's given me. Well, you can ask me, but that's not going to do you any good. You can ask your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, but that's not going to do any good. But you might think about asking the person that gave you the gift. And find out what that mina is. Find out what that opportunity is. Find out what that gift that he has given you. Because when he left, he said, I'm giving this to you, and I'm doing it so that you can do my business while I'm gone. He's gone right now. He's gone and he's left. This is the time to spend your mina. This is the time to do that. All we know is that he said, I'm going to leave and I'm going to come back. And in that time, you need to be doing my business. You need to be doing my business. Are you the faithful? Are you the, I'm good enough? I'm faithful. I'm doing a little bit. Do you see increase in your life? And when I say increase, I mean increase for him. Spiritual increase in your ministry, in your evangelism, in the things that God has blessed you with. Have you sought increase for him? It would be very uncomfortable if you had to stand before your best Christian friend, your accountable Christian friend, and they were going to ask you this question and you had to verbally answer them. And they were going to say, what did you do with your mina? What did you do with your mina today? And you were going to have to stand before them and say, and they'd be uncomfortable. I know, I went to a Bible study one time and this guy, he would, at the end of it, every time, he'd say, have you been a good husband? Have you been a good father? Have you read the Bible? Have you? And he would, every time we knew going in, he was going to ask us those five questions. And you had to stand up and, you didn't have to stand, but you had to sit there in front of these other four or five guys and say yes or no. Man, that was the most uncomfortable day when I knew I had not done what I was supposed to do. But how much worse is it going to be if I stand before God and he says, Steve, what have you done with the mina I gave you? I can say I did a little bit, God, but you know I didn't do everything. You know I may have settled for 5 or 4 or 3 or 2. But have I pushed it to the limit to get 10? Have you done everything you could possibly do to be that faithful? I want to be that 10 guy. Not for me, but because that's what my Father in Heaven deserves. So are you in the servant category? Or are you in the citizen category? Because if you're in the citizen category, I don't care how nice of a guy you, or girl you are. I don't care what you're doing. If you're still in the citizen category, you can be the nicest person on the face of this earth, and you're still in the citizen category. And we know what happens to the citizen category. He's gone. He's given. He's given us the mina. He's coming. And He will judge. But it's not too late to start using that mina. Pull it out of the handkerchief and start using it. Do what you can do to glorify Him, to bring honor to Him, to bring others to Him. Maybe it's just a personal growth. Maybe it's a personal Bible study that's needed right now. Maybe it's not evangelism. Maybe it's not reaching out and sharing Christ with somebody right now. Maybe it's the fact that I need personal growth right now. There needs to be some increase for what He's given me. Man, I know we don't like social media sometimes, but it is so easy for you to start. You can carry your Bible with you on a phone. You can look up any verse you want. You can read the Bible anytime. But we don't. Well, that's what I do just before I go to bed or when I just wake up. That's the only time. That's when you're supposed to do that, Pastor. Did you know that? No. We do it anytime we can. I need to grow more spiritually. And so anytime I can plug that in, that's what I need to do. He's given me time. He's given me the opportunity. It's not too late to spend your mina. And then it's also not too late to become a servant. Maybe you're in that category. You've been around a lot of servants. Maybe your family is all full of servants. But you've never personally come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You personally have never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life and be the Lord of your life, to where you could serve Him. Man, I know all that stuff. It's not too late to become a servant today. So wherever you're at, in this parable that Jesus told, don't be satisfied with where you're at. If you're a citizen, don't be satisfied till you're a servant. If you're a servant that's messing up and you're not doing anything, then strive to be the 5. If you're the 5, strive to be the 10. If you're a 10, strive to be a 20. Strive to be more of what He wants you to be. Because if I start being more of what He wants me to be and you start being more of what He wants you to be, then there will be more servants. Because the servants that we will be the ones out there spending the mina on the kingdom of God. And that's what He's left us here to do, is to do His business. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We pray that You would not just tug on our hearts. I pray that You'd break our hearts. Lord, help us to see where we're at. But Lord, help us to realize You see where we're at. And You're not satisfied. Lord, may we never become complacent, apathetic. God, help us to love You more. Help us to serve You more. Help us to honor You more. God, I love You and I thank You for this opportunity. May we love You more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.